at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. With less than an hour before a scheduled execution this evening, Governor Greg Abbott has decided to spare the life of a death row inmate. Thomas Whitaker was set to die for the 2003 murders of his mother and brother in Fort Bend County. Abbott accepted the state parole board's rare clemency recommendation. The governor commuted Whitaker's sentence to life without parole. It's only the fourth time since the state resumed executions in 1982 that the parole board has recommended clemency. More Democrats are casting ballots than Republicans in Texas since early voting for the primary elections began this week. Turnout in Democratic primaries after 2 days of early voting is up 46% over the last midterm elections in 2014. For Republicans, turnout is roughly on par with 4 years ago. Early voting runs through March 2nd. Election day is March 6th. And if you plan on voting on Election Day, it's possible you might run into someone at your polling location with the title of election judge. Someone asked about these election judges for our week-long Texas Decide series. We're joining public radio stations across the state to answer your election questions. KUT's Ashley Lopez looked into how these judges get this job and what it entails.
Let's get one big thing out of the way here. An election judge is not an actual judge.
I'm not a judge. I'm an election judge.
This is Jenny Knapp. She's been working as an election judge in Travis County for many years now. And this means Knapp is a type of poll worker. When you go to vote, she's one of those people that greets you, gives you your ballot and an I voted sticker. And even though election judges aren't actual judges, they do settle disputes about the law at a polling location. I'll have Travis County Clerk Dana DeBeauvoir explain.
Every polling place needs a presiding officer, somebody to rule if there's any sort of question or dispute, something that needs a tiebreaker, and the presiding judge for the polling place does that.
Jenny Knapp says in her capacity as an election judge, she takes this seriously.
I have the total authority to enforce the laws of the election. And if I have any problem, then I call the elections office. If the voter is not happy with that, I refer them to the Secretary of State's office.
DeBeauvoir says election judges also maintain law and order in a polling place.
The law does allow them for that one day to have some powers of a judicial officer. They can maintain peace in the polling place, and that allows them to ask people to leave and to summon law enforcement, and no one else can do that.
But ultimately, election judges are in charge of running a polling location. Knapp says they manage the other poll workers, make sure the site is open.
At 6 a.m., the poll workers, the clerks, and I get there. We take our oath of office, and then we start setting up the equipment and doing our paperwork and getting ready for the first voter to come in.
Election judges work long hours on election day. They are the first people to get to a polling place and the last people to leave. During early voting, by the way, these folks are called deputies and they're hired by the county elections office. But election judges who work on election day are actually appointed by political parties. Folks like Cindy Flint with the Travis County Democratic Party are in charge of finding election judges. In fact, when I first called Flint this week, that's what she was doing.
So it is that magic time of year. The Democratic primary is upon us, and that's one of our primary responsibilities, is to have election judges at all of the polling places.
The way this works is whatever party won the governor's race in that particular precinct, that party gets to choose the election judge for that polling location. So Flint says every 2 years, she, as well as the county Republican Party, sends out requests and appoints people.
But, you know, gosh darn, it isn't as easy as it sounds, hiring 750 people to work 14 hours on a Tuesday in March.
And while it's hard work, she says those polling locations do eventually get staffed.
It is, as I say, just the work of the angels and civic duty priceless that what the election workers do for all of us so we can have an opportunity to cast our votes.
It'll take more than 1,000 people to run the primary on election day in Travis County alone. And these election judges will be among those making it happen. In Austin, I'm Ashley Lopez.
We have a voter's guide for the primary elections. That's at keranews.org. Alejandro Guillen is Fort Worth Symphony's new fresh-faced associate conductor. Guillen may be young, but he comes from a long line of musicians, and he's no stranger to Fort Worth. This week's Art and Seek Artist Spotlight is a team effort between Jerome Weeks and Hadi Mwagdi. Here's Hadi.
It's rehearsal night at Arbor Lawn United Methodist Church tonight. And the Fort Worth Symphony Orchestra fills the sanctuary with music from Aesop's Fables. The musicians are preparing for a children's concert. 24 young performers will join them to enact the stories. Alejandro Guillen leads the orchestra. The slender associate conductor is 33, but he looks like he could still be in college. Tonight, he's got a problem. Arbor Lawn Church is big, and it's echoey, and it's throwing everything out of balance. During a break, Guillen consults with technicians and the composer, TCU professor Till McIver-Mine.
When we are up here also, the reverb is just huge. Can they be brought down at all or no?
I don't think so.
Like
In the soft spot.
This is the first rehearsal at Arbor Lawn, and it's Guillen's first time conducting Aesop's Fables. The following day, Guillen says they're making it work.
You know, we're still tweaking things. And that's what's beautiful about it. Every time you play a piece of music, it's different.
Guillen knows his stuff. You could say it's in his blood. His grandfather co-founded the symphony back home in Bogota, Colombia. His father has a graduate degree in music studies at TCU. And Guillen has been playing violin since he was 5.
You know, it was never this idea of music as a profession, detached from music as a calling or music as a way of being alive. It almost was as if, what else would you do?
Guillen's family moved to Fort Worth when he was in the 10th grade. He left lush, mountainous Colombia for hot, flat North Texas. And it was a shock, but music helped.
I got off the plane and became the concertmaster with Fort Worth Youth Orchestra. And so as long as I had that, I knew that I could belong.
Guillen got his bachelor's in violin performance at TCU. Then he got doctorates in violin and conducting at the University of Colorado. Since then, Guillen's toured Europe, he's taught at universities, and he's conducted orchestras. He's also the music director of the Bloomington Symphony in Indiana. He owns a home there with his wife Sarah, a Baroque violinist and a teacher. With all of that, why come back to Fort Worth?
Well, you know, I have to go back to my experience as a student at TCU. I associate being here in Fort Worth with learning, you know, with growing. So to return now as associate conductor, I think now it's a time of giving back.
His position allows him to participate with outreach programs, and he's passionate about children's programming. He wants to give young people a rich initial exposure to a live symphonic performance. But Guillen also admits he and his wife are still trying to figure out how to build careers. There's no corporate ladder to climb, no guidebook.
You know, I really feel very privileged to do what I'm doing right now. I don't want to seem ungrateful, but it's hard to start to make a professional career. Of course, there are widely accepted traits that makes a good conductor, but there is no formula and this is not a linear process.
Even artists who are born to it wind up piecing things together. The question then becomes, is this struggle and training and talent worth it for an art form that honestly many Americans still see as withering? Was Guillen born into an art that's an antique?
I realize I'm not objective because I'm in it. I love it. It's my livelihood and my life. But I really don't think that people will stop coming. If we don't invite them and if we make them feel like they're coming to this foreign thing and it feels excluding, I do think we have to rethink that. But that's changing. And so overall, no, music will always live. Symphonic, classical, yeah.
This Saturday, Guillen will conduct a symphonic concert of music from the Harry Potter films at Bass Hall. It's obviously aimed at young fans. And it's sold out. Hadi Mawagdi, KERA News.
This piece was reported and written by Jerome Weeks and produced by Hadi Mawagdi. A flood watch will go into effect from midnight tonight until Saturday evening. Otherwise, cloudy skies this evening. An 80% chance for storms with low around 43. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.